Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in again to Issues Concerning Women. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and it is such a delight to be with you once again. I am so excited about the show tonight. We are always doing things that are wonderful in the community. We're always helping out whenever we can. And just to tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women. It's an organization. I'm the director and the CEO of Issues Concerning Women. And what we do is we mentor, inspire, motivate women, and encourage them to discover their full potential. Issues Concerning Women was started in 2007. And we've been up and running ever since. We've been trying to do wonderful things in the community, such as workshops. We do seminars, prayer breakfasts, where we get out there and meet the community and meet them at their needs. And we contribute to the homeless shelters and children's programs. And Issues Concerning Women is always looking to partner with nonprofits. We have a couple of groups that we affiliate with here in Hampton Roads, and we're looking to reach out to other communities, not just here in Virginia Beach, Virginia, but all over the country. And I've met some wonderful people since I've been doing the radio show, and just looking forward to doing more of this and reaching out all across the country. We have people that call in from Atlanta, California, Kansas, North Carolina. So it's just been wonderful. And as we go into 2011, we're looking to do more of this kind of thing with more interviews, more live contacts and sponsors on our show. And tonight I want to talk about a subject that has been increasingly brought up in many of our latest topics and programs on our other shows, and it's talking about forgiving. That has been the key thing, growing in our faith and forgiving others when they're doing things that are not pleasing to us, but at the same time learning how we can move forward and not hold things against other people. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to hold grudges and we just can't move on. But, you know, I want to let you know today that this is a new year, new month, a new decade, and we just have to move forward and just go through our lives and look at where we are and try to figure out what it is that we need to do so that we can move forward and have a prosperous life. So many times when we're looking at our lives, we can't figure out why everything is not in place. And if you're holding any kind of unforgiveness in your heart, that could be the absolute reason why. You know, we just don't want you to just go through the motions. We want you to forgive those that have hurt you. Talk about your testimonies and let people know what's going on in your life as well. Because once you do that and you release these things that are holding you down and holding you down, you'll be able to move forward. So just think about that tonight. What is holding you back from being as successful as you want to be? You know, oftentimes we talk about achieving success, but it's not all the time about money. It's about family, friends, relationships. It's all those things, our careers, all combined into one. And when we talk about forgiveness, we have to look at where we are and what we need. Whatever is involved in the practice of forgiving someone or indeed being forgiving and forgiving of others, almost all of us sense the importance of forgiveness. We are aware of situations and relationships where there has been a breach of trust or where unresolved conflicts can cause harm to us year after year after year. We keep harboring these things, and it just festers like an old sore. Knowing these things, we yearn for resolution, for ways of moving forward in a future that is free of brokenness. So we have to think about where we are, what we're doing, what's holding us back, what's keeping us from reaching our full potential. And so many times is that we're holding malice in our heart, and we're not able to move on. So we don't want to have that continue to happen with us. We want to move forward. We want to have patience, and we want to learn what it is that we need to do. And also we have to have courage. When we're talking about forgiveness, you know, we have to find the courage to practice what we preach. And it can be difficult. I'm not going to tell anybody it's easy to forgive somebody, especially when they've hurt you and caused harm to you or your family members. But, you know, we have to move forward, and we just have to let some things go. Yesterday is gone forever. Today is a new day, wonderful day, and we're so glad that you're here with us, and we want you to have a prosperous and happy life. So we're going to just move forward, and the very notion of forgiveness conjures up many painful images in our minds. Merely to consider this practice causes us to think about harboring evil. It makes us think about things of the past, and we hold on to so many things that we should let go of. And a lot of times we're not able to do that. It's all we think about acts of violence. We think about child abuse, domestic violence, you know, in our homes, on our jobs. We think about people that have mistreated us. We think about harassment. And it's sometimes difficult to even comprehend the depths of pain and suffering that we go through in all these situations. No wonder, then, that we are unable to forgive. You know, forgiveness can make a difference. And we must think about forgiveness also causes us to consider the smaller day-to-day struggles involved in living with others in our homes, in our churches, and in our workplace. We have to be with these people every day. You know, when we go to work, we spend 8 to 10 hours sometimes on our job. And if you're in an environment that is unhealthy, it causes not only you harm, but those that are around you. They don't know how to move forward or go about doing things differently. And hold on 1 second. I think I've got a call on the line. Good evening. This is Francine. How are you?
Hi, Francine. How are you?
Wonderful. And who do I have on the line?
This is Lilisa J. Williams.
Hi, Lilisa. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you.
Great, great, great. I was just getting started with the show, and I'm so glad that you were able to join me tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I have on the line Lilisa J. Williams. And she is a author. She's a PhD candidate and an entrepreneur. And we were just opening up the show and talking a little bit about the forum that we've been doing the first part of the year. And I was talking about forgiveness. And Lilisa has a wonderful bio, and I want her to just jump right in here and talk about her experiences and what she's been doing for the past few years and how she is now living her dreams. And you know what? And one of the things that Lilisa had to do, and I'm sure she'll tell you, is that she had to do some forgiving. Is that right?
Oh, God. Yes, in a major way. In a major way, I had to do some forgiveness. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, absolutely. So, Lilisa, I just want you to jump right on in there because we don't want to, you know, 30 minutes we have for the show, but, you know, once we get the talking, it just rolls on by before we know it's the end of the show. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Lilisa, and then I'm going to have her chime right on in. Lilisa J. Williams, she is now living her dreams. She was once destitute and homeless. Now she's a full-time author. She has a PhD candidate, and she's an entrepreneur, has spent the last 20 years creating and developing interesting and lively content. She addresses issues and topics relevant to personal and spiritual development. She's a large part of her mission is to challenge individuals, students, employees, congregations, and professionals to acquire the skills needed to excel as personal, professional, and spiritual leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you Lilisa J. Williams.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Francine. It's so great to be here, and congratulations to you and this wonderful forum that you have here, you know, sharing with people how to be upward mobility, how to discover who you really are, to go after your passions, to go after your dreams, you know, set that vision, get your mission down pat, and live this life on purpose and with passion. And it would be hard to do if you don't forgive yourself. So that's an awesome, awesome, great topic and segment to always talk about forgiveness. And one of the things I had to do first, or at some point in time early on, is to forgive myself.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I had forgiven my mother for some things I thought she didn't do, or some things I thought she did do that she shouldn't have done. I stayed there for a long time with unforgiveness, you know, with my mother. And then I had unforgiveness for the person who had sexually abused me from the time I was 5 till I was 18. So there was a lot of unforgiveness there, but it was mostly internal, because I never really learned how to express, you know, outwardly what I was feeling inside. And so I kept so many things, you know, bottled up and hidden. So a lot of the unforgiveness that I had, you know, turned into like a bitterness toward myself. So I first had to forgive myself and accept the person that I had been. And then that is what allowed me to become the person that I am today.
Oh, absolutely. And this is, I know that your story is powerful, and we all know that forgiveness is not easy. And that's something that we have to take into consideration as we move forward into whatever new situations that we're going to be involved in, and whenever we're trying to do new things, we have to look at where we are. And if we are harboring that unforgiveness in our heart, then a lot of times that stagnates us and we're not able to move forward. But the other thing about forgiveness is, and what Lalisa said, she had to forgive herself first, you know. And Lalisa, I know that that was probably as hard as forgiving some of those other people that were in your life.
It was, because I felt that I had done myself wrong. First of all, you know, not standing up for myself, letting people take advantage of me, the abuse. You know, then as a child, I was bullied in school because of some things that was going on at home that I'd had no control over. So when I went to school, you know, I wasn't the popular kid, and, you know, there were some situations that I really couldn't control. So I had let it, you know, had let some things go on, then being a high school dropout. But before I even dropped out of high school, I was flunking out of school. And so, you know, later in life, I had to forgive myself for not studying, you know, for not reading, for not doing the homework, for not seeking after my own life, for my own safety, for my own care, then being out in the streets, you know, staying out all night, putting myself in harm's way, being with people that, you know, I didn't know if I was going to live or die the next day. I was with people I didn't even know. They could have done anything to me, you know, people that were getting high, and I just took for granted that everything would be okay. So I had to forgive myself for the way I had mistreated myself first, and before I could begin to really understand even to forgive somebody else. So I had to first realize that, you know, a lot of my behavior was a reaction to things that was hidden, the sexual abuse, the ways that I was feeling, that the not standing up for myself. That was a, you know, a big stigma for me for a long time, because I'm, you know, back in the day when I came up, you were called a coward and a scaredy cat.
Oh,
so
sure,
those,
sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And unlike today, where kids are bullied, and we've heard the horror stories of how kids have taken weapons and killed others, or even, you know, killed themselves when they were bullied. You know, back then I was taught from my upbringing and my mother and father that you just suck it up, you just take it. And so I had to deal a lot with unforgiveness and forgiveness, but because I grew up in the church, and I was taught scripture that said, you know, God forgives us, and, you know, we heard the scripture, you know, he forgave those that did him wrong, and, you know, he asked his father, you know, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I thank God for that teaching, because it was simple, and then I remembered it. And so forgiveness was never like a hard thing. You know, when it was time for me to do it, it was like, okay, well, this is something I could do. Jesus did this, I can do it too.
Right. Yeah, so wait. You know, I when I was reading about you, and it talked about, you know, you dropped out of school, but something happened to you. What changed your life after the age of 18? Because something happened. that was life-changing for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. After the age of 18, I, you know, did a series of bad mistakes and made a, you know, series of wrong turn every now and then, making a right turn every now and again. But I ended up, after the age of 18, after having dropped out of high school, going back to school, getting a GED, I go into the military, I think everything is okay, and then I end up not finishing that that tour of duty, so to speak. And then at age 20, I went in the military at age 23. I came out at age 25. I came out and I hooked up with somebody that I had knew growing up as a young woman, and well, much younger than I was. And then I ended up a prostitute. I ended up going out of town with this person and going to an area of the country where prostitution is, you know, prevalent day and night, 24 hours a day. And they were everywhere for like about a 3-mile stretch. That's all you encountered was prostitutes, pimps, drug addicts, and gamblers. And I had nowhere to turn. I was 1,000 miles away from home, no money, a GED, nothing. I had nothing. I had no car and had nothing. So, you know, I just fit right in. I was good at fitting in. I had done that all my life. I fit into situations that I was, you know, found myself into, and not complaining. So I did that, and I ended up doing that for like 3 years. And then I ended up in jail a few times. And then one of those times, yeah, because one of those times, that's what happens. That's the life of a prostitute, in and out of jail. Some people may not know that. And what happens is, after you go in and out of jail for those short times, like 30 days here, 30 days there, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, eventually they will give you a longer sentence. Just because they figure, well, you haven't learned your lesson. We've locked you up. We said you were disorderly person, but you really haven't learned your lesson. So we'll put you away for a year or two and then see if you'll change. So, but God intervened, and before I got to that stage, he woke me up and said, you need to stop this. You need to come out of this. And so I thank God for that, because I don't think I could have survived prison.
I can't even imagine, you know. And after those 3 years, you went back to school.
I left prison. One day I was laying there, and you know, I was reading some scriptures, and it was like the Lord just said to me, you know, it's over, it's done, it's it. And I called my mother on the phone, and, you know, said to her, Mom, I want to change my life. I need to come there and stay. She said yes. I came. I began going to church. I began going. I went and got a temporary job, and I was working as a file clerk at a bank in downtown Cincinnati, which was my hometown. And I had met this guy, and he was, he was talking about going to Atlanta. And I thought, that would be great. Let me get away from Cincinnati, where I have this bad reputation, where I have this, you know, reputation as scorned, because I had also gotten arrested there for prostitution as well. And I said, let me just leave. I had nothing but my GED. And I told my mother I was leaving and blah, blah, blah. And she said, you know, she told me not to go to Atlanta. She said, that's where I wanted to go. I was going to go with this guy and just try to make it down there, try to get a temp job. She said, no, why don't you go to New Jersey? Your sister, at least you have your sister there. She said, I don't want you going to Atlanta. You don't know anybody there. What are you going to do? And probably in the back of her mind, she was fearful that I would end up again prostituting. Mm-hmm. But she didn't, you know, she didn't say that. No. But she said, go to New Jersey. So I had my sister's phone number. I had her address. I didn't call her or anything. I had a little Ford Escort. I got in my car. I drove to New Jersey and went to the address. I stopped and asked people along the way once I got to Jersey. I drove to New Jersey. And the next day, I went for a temp job. My sister said I could stay with her. I went for a temp job for a one-day assignment for a file clerk at Valcor Engineering. At the end of the day, the guy offered me a job. Within 6 months, that's when word processing was new, brand new. Before that, everybody typed on a typewriter, and you messed up a document, you had to start all over again. Word processing was brand spanking new, and my supervisor, John Stewart, I'll never forget him, he sent me to Essex County College to learn Multimate. I went to Essex County College in the city of Newark, 20 years ago, and I teach there today. So I went and I teach in the same college where I went to take a multi-mate class. It was like a 12-week class. It was taught by a woman who was from Montclair State University. Prior to that, I didn't know much about college. She was an African-American woman, and I remember thinking, she's awesome. That's all I kept saying, she's awesome. She had a full-time job at PSE&G, and I thought, you're awesome. And she took to me for some odd reason, and she said to me, basically, she saw something in me, and she worked with me and made sure I learned the program, and I always caught on to things pretty quickly, and so she was just very encouraging, and she became my role model without me ever telling her that. And by that January, I was registered to get my associate degree, and I just kept going.
Yes. Oh, Ms. Williams, this is a fascinating story. And, you know, and like I said, you know, 30 minutes can go by so fast.
Wow,
you know?
It's gone already.
No, we got about 8 more minutes, so we're going to fast forward a little bit, you know, because I want to get everything in because, you know, you have such a fascinating story. And I just want the listeners to see where you've come from and how you've accomplished so much. And, you know, God, and we have to give God the glory because you know that was him that placed you where you were and sent you to New Jersey and didn't let you go with that young man, you know, because you don't know where your life would have been, but you know, that's for us not even to even think about right now. We just want to move forward and let the listeners see how wonderful in this time span your life has been. Now, you're the author of 4 books.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Okay. Yes,
can you tell us a little bit about your books and you know, just talk, because I can talk, too, so I'm going to shut up.
Well, we definitely got to talk. It's so nice to meet you, too. I'm so glad to meet you. I thank God for you. And we definitely got to talk. We got to talk. I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. But, you know, I look at my books and the businesses that I do, the websites and all of that. I look at that as God's way of saying, don't count anyone out. And no matter what you've never, ever had, you know, it's never too late to be what you should have been. And I know someone quoted that. I didn't coin the phrase. Someone else did. I don't remember who. But it's so true. And so I look at the books, Release Your Power. You know, a lady was telling me today, wow, you know, you're fascinating. You know, author, you're radio show host. You do this, you do that, you teach. You know, I'm married 21 years. I met my husband a year after I moved to New Jersey. You have your yes, I got, thank God for him. Yes, I thank God. I went from homeless to homeowner. You know, I went from high school dropout to, you know, 3 degrees, working on the 4. So, you know, all these things. And it was like God is just wants to let people know that the only way that you can stay down is that you give up on yourself. And that he just used me as I'm just an example. So here I was, a high school dropout, did not even like to read. And God said, you're going to write books. And my other siblings, they were the writers. They were the ones who loved to read. They were the ones getting A's. My mother wrote poetry. I was the one that was out partying, getting high, got high every single day. Anyway, so here I write this first book, God's Plan for My Success, a personal testimony about overcoming the enemy's plan to destroy my life. It's 121 pages, and I talk in there about how to hear the plan of God, how to know the plan, how to fight for it, how to die for it. And so that's what that book is about, is that you have to see God's plan in every area of your life. The rape. And then the second book, Release Your Power. Release Your Power is eight strategies to help you become who you really are. It is to motivate you, to empower you, to help you make that change. You've got to make a change. Mm-hmm. The first chapter is choosing the change. It will help you improve your self-esteem. The third book I wrote because people were asking me, how do I write a book? How do I write a book? How did you do it? So I wrote a book called The Art of, because I self-published both books and never went the traditional publishing way. I didn't even know anything about traditional publishing. All I knew was God told me to write. I said to God, I can write a book. He says, I know you can. I'll write it through you. And that's what happened. And then I wrote the book, The Art of Making Money as a Self-Published Author. And it's about 60-something pages. It's just basic instruction on how to, you can self-publish your book from front to finish. But it goes along with a workshop that I do. And then the fourth one, I co-wrote a book with two other women. It's a prayer journal called Faith, Hope, and Love. The three of us wrote that together. And then it's spirit, 30-day spiritual growth journey. And then I did another journal. It's called Dead Woman Walking. And what that book is a journal where you will address some issues. And what that book is about, it's also a journal, prayer journal. But what that's about is that we have to die to our flesh. We have to die to, oh, who hurt me? Oh, look what they did to me.
Yeah.
We have to die to, oh, she thinks she better. Oh, he thinks he better. Oh, I think they better. You know, all of these things that we need to die to so that we can really live in this supernatural power and abundance field life that God has for us.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I'm working on like three other books.
I know you are, and I am so excited for you. We have about 4 minutes, so I want you to tell the audience how they can get in touch with you on your web, give your websites, you know, and where they can purchase these books, because you are a phenomenal woman. I'm so glad you were able to come on the show tonight. So we're going to take about another couple minutes and tell them the websites and how they can contact you for your books.
And thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for this awesome, awesome opportunity. I look forward to meeting you face to face one day, hopefully soon.
Yay.
Yes, and also connecting with you on some other levels. I see all the wonderful work you're doing. My website is my name, Lil Lisa J. Williams. So that's www.lilisajwillims.com. They can also connect with me on Facebook. It might be easier, but they can purchase the books from my website. From that website, there's a product page. All the books are listed right there. I will ship them to you. They are also on Facebook or either Create Space, not Facebook, I'm sorry, I meant to say Amazon, or Create Space. Or if you happen to be here in the city of, if you're in the state of New Jersey, you can get it from Crossroads of Life Christian Bookstore on Maple Avenue in Hillside. And now you can also get the book from First Lady Flag. She's having these empowerment women's book clubs, but you can also find her, Diana Flag, on Facebook, and she can get the book for you. But the best thing to do is to go to my website or to call. You can actually call me, 888-714-7776. That's 888-714-7776. And I thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you. You know, we're almost out of town. And God bless you, too. Your story is just so wonderful and so powerful. And I was reading all your information, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to talk to her. And I wanted to call you earlier, but my schedule was so crazy all this week. So I was like, I hope she comes on the line, you know. I hope she's available tonight, you know. And I know we had made contact and you were supposed to come on, but I was so glad when I saw the line light up. I was like, oh, she's here, she's here.
Bless you.
I am just so, bless you too. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm going to have you on again because we didn't even scratch the surface of who you are and all the wonderful things that you're doing. And I know that you're probably doing things in your own area, you know, that people might be interested in, because we are, you know, by us being on Blog Talk Radio, we touch different cities, you know, and globally. And I know that your story is going to help somebody, and the books are going to help somebody. So I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on my show, Lisa, and I want to have you on again, and I appreciate you so much. You just inspired me, and I'm just on fire, girl. I just can't wait to get on.
Well, you call me anytime.
Thank you so much. I will.
I definitely will. And we will talk.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, I said we will talk, definitely.
Oh, great, great, great. And, you know, we got 45 seconds, so ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in once again to Issues Concerning Women. We're on every Thursday night at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, so please tell your friends and family about us. Please tell them about Mrs. Lalisa Williams and about her wonderful books, and if you have questions, please give her a call. And her telephone number, again, is 888-714. And Lalisa, give me the last four.
7776.
7776. Oh, yes. This has been a wonderful show. I hate for it to end. I don't want to get off the line. Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing from you soon, and we'll be in touch. And thank you for tuning in to Issues Concerning Women. We are on every Thursday night at 8:30, so tell all your friends. And God bless you all. We love you, and God loves you too. Good night.
Good night.